Vision Pro, ChatGPT, Tesla Autopilot, McDonald's McRib, and Crystal Pepsi. This month on Coffee with Evangelist, we talk about opinionated launches, because as we hear more about the AI in the world and new products that Salesforce is launching, people have opinions. And so I thought we would talk about some of these launches in the tech world or elsewhere that definitely drew attention and, most importantly, drew people's opinion. So joining me again this month,
that is my good friend and fellow admin evangelist, Mike Gerholt. I'm Josh Burke, your host of the Salesforce Developer Podcast. And here in the podcast, you'll hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, however, we are once again going to shake things up, where I take a little bit from Mike and Jillian's show, where the three of us sit around and talk about various things over coffee. And this time we're doing opinionated launches. But no further ado, we'll just jump right back into the show.
Our admin evangelist, Jillian Bruce, and Josh Burke, who have come with products and opinions. Welcome back.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
I mean, I remember when I tried Crystal Pepsi. I was in high school. I was working at a Subway, and I thought it was amazing. And then a friend of mine said, it just tastes like Sprite.
But it was in a Pepsi-labeled can or bottle.
I mean, come on. Jillian, that was back in the days when you used to buy glass screw tops that had like some weird foam printed on it.
Oh,
Crystal
yeah.
Pepsi. Yeah.
I remember like my babysitter at the time got a gallon jug. Those really big like soda bottles, the 2 liter. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember just being like, wait, it's clear on the inside. I don't understand.
That's not Pepsi. You're fooling me.
I want my soda. Don't tell me there was water in there.
Give me caramel colored water to make me feel better.
Well, it tasted like somewhere between like Sprite and Pepsi, right? Like it was almost supposed to be like almost a magic trick, I feel like, that it's just like, I don't understand the point of it.
Well, people had thoughts. I mean, yeah. I also didn't list Coke versus New Coke.
Right.
Because I remember that fiasco.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel so bad for the people who get highly opinionated about products like that. I feel bad for the people, well, the people who have an opinion, but the opinion is they love the product and then public opinion goes against it. And now they have to like drive down to Mexico to find it.
Google Glass.
Right.
Did they ever do the Pepsi challenge, but with clear Pepsi and Sprite?
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, there is I feel like I saw a documentary on that Pepsi and Coke, and they did the blind test. People can't tell a difference.
Right.
Or if you can, you're drinking a lot of soda.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's this weird matrix of like Coke Zero is the new Coke formula, but Coke is the old Coke formula, which I don't think I'm getting that right. But it's like there's a strange spreadsheet out there of which flavoring you're actually getting.
Right. I do think like fountain soda tastes sweeter than when you buy it.
Because I think they actually blend in more. You get the sugar right off the top. Sure. Yeah.
Just got it right off the tap. Just put it straight into my veins.
Half a vein.
Just Milhouse and Bart Simpson just right underneath there. Down, pulling the tap.
So that was old stuff. But Vision Pro is what Apple's calling their Ready Player One goggle.
Yeah.
Cosplay.
They're ski goggles for the future.
I mean, they kind of look like it. They look comfortable if you're going to be wearing ski goggles to escape the nightmarish world.
I mean, you know, an opinion that I have heard that I think I identify with is, who wants to put something like that on their head?
And in one environment, like, so I've got a PlayStation VR 2, and it's kind of a similar dorky looking, you know, space sci-fi thing. But it's in my living room. The only person who gets a ridicule of me about it is my wife. Like, I'm not bringing that into the office and pretending like, you know, it's this thing that I'm going to use for business.
You're not going to travel with it and put on kind of a leisure suit and do a 3D meeting in your hotel room.
Yeah. And then like a friend of mine was like, well, maybe I'll get that for travel. Like I'll be on a plane with that. And I'm like, really? You're going to look at other people while you're okay. I mean, it's a plane. Weird things happen, I guess. So you should be fine. But yeah. No, especially since they have these glasses that look like glasses that do like the things that you might want to do in a plane, like have this big artificial screen in front of you and you don't look like you're, you know, George Jetson.
Well, what I find really interesting about the very strong opinions about this new Vision Pro is that everybody's got an opinion about it, but very few people have been able to try it.
Right.
Right.
It's like the opposite of the Crystal Pepsi. Like that was very accessible, but unless you've got like, what, 4 or 5 grand to drop, you're not going to get a chance to try this thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, I'm not the market for this. And I'm somebody who will spend money on first generation geeky objects just because they're first generation geeky objects. And I'm definitely not lining up for one.
Well, that's funny. I would think you were the audience for this, Josh.
I was going to say, don't you have like...
I got to be like 3 doors down from the audience, I think. Somebody from Apple might be like, wait, he's not our audience?
Then we missed the mark. I feel like everybody is getting an opinion, Jillian, to your point, off of the short video that Apple sold them. And then they're like, well, that doesn't apply to me, or that does apply, or that's perfect. And it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or like me, you haven't even seen the video. You've just seen what it looks like. And you're like, yeah, I'm good.
Well, the claustrophobia in me is at least I can see through them. So it's not like putting on a blindfold.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting. A lot of people are comparing it to like the iPhone launch and like that, like it's going to be this like pivotal moment of Apple. Like everybody has to like buy into this concept now or it's going to fail. People forget that when the iPhone launched, not everybody thought it was going to be a good idea. And I don't mean like, I mean, like there were consumer, there was like Wired, I think, called it the biggest mistake Apple was ever going to make.
Mm.
Well, and that's an interesting point, Josh, because, you know, everybody talk about pivotal moments, right? So Mike, in your opening, one of the things you said was ChatGPT.
Mm. Yes.
Again, we go back to like the accessibility of it all. Everyone can access ChatGPT. Very few people can access this Vision Pro. But everyone, you know, if you talk about, oh, this is the next iPhone, or even the Apple Watch, right, wasn't very popular in the beginning because it didn't do a lot. And then, hey, who sells the most watches of anyone across the industry? Apple.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, it might be one of these things where it takes time, whereas opposed ChatGPT, right, everyone is like losing their dang minds about it because it is so fun and it is so different and there will be a change. But again, it's like the base first iteration of this, and the possibilities will evolve over time, right?
I think like if we tried to compare ChatGPT to the iPhone, I think the problem there is exactly what you just said, Jillian. It's like this is not a new iteration on something that's been around for a long time. It's been around for a long time, but this is the first iteration where it's first been public, and second is has a large enough model behind it to be smart enough to have this wow effect. I wouldn't compare it to the iPhone. I would compare it to like that weird huge phone that your dad had in the car that had a, you know, an antenna about 5 feet up. The bag phone. This is basically the bag phone version of a phone. It's the first one that's like the only difference, though, back to your point, Jillian, is that everybody can use it. Like only like really rich people have the really big bag phone, but anybody can open up a browser and try out GPT. So it's going to be really hard to predict where that's actually going.
I wonder. Just thinking through like cultural norms, you brought that up. When did it become okay to just wear Apple headphones, you know, those earbuds walking down the street? Like that at some point was normalized. Do you not think like wearing VR goggles on a plane or walking down the street will somewhat be normalized?
Yeah. Some people tried to normalize Google Glass, especially here in San Francisco, and it just never.
Right. Right. Which that's an interesting comparison because the difference between Apple AirPods and Vision Pro is Vision Pro has cameras on it. So are you worried that, you know, if I'm on the plane that I'm recording everything around me?
And it's in 3D or something too.
Yeah, it can do. How did somebody was watching the video and there's this moment where somebody's like watching their kid's birthday party. But they've got the goggles on and they're recording it and it's recording it in 3D. And their response was, wow, that's really cool. Please never do this to your child. Like, don't be the, you know, like let them see your face when they're blowing out their candle.
Well, I mean, how many pictures haven't you seen recently where people go to concerts and they are holding their phone up to record everything?
Right.
And we just end up watching the concert through our phone at the concert.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not very being present in the moment. I mean, gosh, as somebody with two young kids, I am constantly reminding myself, it's either I'm taking no pictures because I am so in the moment, or I'm like, wait, that cute thing happened and I have no photos. Or
it's in memory now.
Yeah. Or I'm like, oh God, no, we should do this angle. Oh, I want him when he's giggling this way. Oh, no, I didn't catch it. I got to do it again. And it's right. Even with existing technology, that's hard.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think the Vision Pro, like even Apple's saying they're not going to sell a ton of these things. They know $3,500 is not something's going to be lining around the corner for. The iteration that it's going to be a question mark is it their iPhone moment is when they figure out how to do this for like $500 or $350.
Or will they just use the Vision Pro as a way to test out tech for other pieces of tech that they're working on?
Right.
Yeah, like the long rumored Apple Car.
Right. Yeah.
Which again, people would probably line up to buy, right?
But, of course.
And would have lots of opinions about it. People have opinions about it and it doesn't even exist. Probably
you would need like six different dongles, right? Because it's constantly, you're constantly going to have the wrong dongle to charge it.
So we already have a dongle problem in the EV world because we have Tesla and I have a Kia that's a plug-in hybrid. And like you go to a charging station and there's a high likelihood that you don't have the right dongle.
Right.
Yes. Literally.
Right. Yes.
Right. And then if Apple comes out with their car, it'll be the first EV that's like powered through lightning. So yeah, that'll just add on to the problem.
I mean, the irony of that is gas pumps were somewhat standardized. Gasoline pumps, the nozzle is a standard size. Diesel pumps actually come in two sizes because over the road trucks have a larger nozzle. Mm-hmm. And so I know this because I have a diesel truck. And you can go and there's a standard size pump, which it pumps diesel slower than the high volume pumps that the diesel trucks have. But that's interesting because at some point it's like curtain rings. We just agreed on a size. Mm-hmm. There's also, Jillian, to your point, not only a dongle problem, but a location problem. Mm-hmm. So Ford puts their charging ports in different parts of the car than Tesla does, which is also different than Rivian and Polestar. Mm-hmm. It creates a parking issue because you've seen those pictures where people literally can't pull up to the charging station because the port is on, you know, I think Tesla's like back driver's left side. Where's yours, Jillian?
So I have a Kia plug-in hybrid. So one side I could put gas in and one side I can plug it in, and the plug-in is on the back.
Boy, don't mess that up.
Well, it's fair. Yeah, that's not ever going to happen. Also, I never get gas, which is wonderful. Oh. It's on the back right is where my plug is.
Yeah, so opposite of Tesla. Ford puts theirs right up by the driver's door.
Hmm. Yeah, that would be challenging with the way I have our home set up. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. To round on that, another nice thing about the distinction between diesel and non-diesel is it keeps idiots like me from putting diesel into his non-diesel car. So thank you.
only if you stop. The nozzle. Yeah. Yep. While we're on the subject of cars, you know, Tesla has an autopilot.
Yeah.
It sure does. But does it really? Because it keeps talking about the fact that it does. But has it really, really happened? I mean, as a San Franciscan, I'm surrounded every day by Waymo and Cruise that are actually cars driving people on the road without anyone in the front seat. And they look so cool. And I really want to get in one. So I have an opinion about that I think that's cool. But other people have very different opinions.
I think it's cool, but slightly terrifying because as the real Elon Musk has presented himself over the years, thinking that that's the guy who's going to be responsible for making sure that there's going to be a fleet of self-driving cars that aren't going to like have to ask the trolley problem, it kind of worries me a little bit. This is where I kind of want the governing bodies to come in and say, you haven't done this good enough sort of thing. And I'm not sure our government's efficient enough to keep up with people like Elon Musk.
Well, we've seen that with
internet regulation.
Right.
So ironically, I think the tech in the self-driving cars is amazing and way futuristic. Our approach to building and designing roads is what's stuck in like the 1700s.
Yeah.
Because we built roads just as pathways for humans to navigate, as opposed to if you look at a circuit board or you look at like even some of the automated robots that they have in manufacturing plants, there's very clear designed markings and, you know, parameters around it, which the floor has to be leveled and stuff for the robot to operate, because that's essentially what the car is.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't build roads that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to the charging point, the future could be roads that just charge your car as they as you drive along.
I've heard of that in like Sweden or somewhere.
Yeah. But we have roads that are still falling apart. So,
yes.
Again, maybe we might have to move to Sweden to see some of this stuff in our lifetime.
Yep. What controversial opinionated items did you come up with for this? Anything?
The iPhone.
Because otherwise, we're going to talk about the McRib.
Oh, the McRib. I don't have an opinion on the McRib.
Really? Have you had a McRib?
Yeah. There's almost no version of barbecue sauce I don't like. There's barbecue sauce I like a lot, and there's barbecue. I mean, I'm not saying all barbecue is created equal. Do not get me wrong.
No.
There's also been almost no beer I've ever drank that I didn't like. Not all. Oh. Well, that's not true. There's like one, and I won't say the name because, you know, podcasting and kind of stuff, but I brought it to a party. And I had never had it, and it instantly became like the mockery of the party. So it does exist. God. So bad beer obviously does exist, but it's like, I don't know. It's if I'm driving around and I want a little barbecue sandwich, I'll do a McRib.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, really I don't trust know what kind of meat it's ground up. Yeah. So
I don't know what it's made of. That's been formed and shaped.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Jillian, you don't trust McDonald's.
Yeah, I mean, you basically said exactly what I was thinking. So, but people are very passionate about the McRib's existence or non-existence. I know it is something I have heard many conversations about, and it fascinates me because, I mean, to your point, Mike, what even is it and how different is it? I guess it's got different sauce.
And why is it limited? Like cows grow all the time.
Right. Like exactly. And I think that's and like Taco Bell plays this game too. Like they'll bring something back for a little and it's all marketing. It's just all marketing to try to
That Mexican pizza. My God. That got me I will say that got me back to Taco Bell because otherwise there was no reason to go.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm from Central Illinois and it's like McDonald's is like Jillian, you might want to cover your ears for this part because like I also little known fact about me. I used to work for a photo franchise, you know, one of those things. Family gets up, backdrop, click a button kind of thing.
Oh, my God. This is going to be the best story I've heard.
Well, so I learned a few things about people at that time. And one of the things I learned was if you got your kids to dress up and come to my store and behave themselves for the 5 minutes it takes me to click the button. And like I said, I wasn't a photographer. I just worked there. I just clicked the button, right? If you use McDonald's as the reward for bringing them into the store, do not remove that reward while they're there because they will lose their little minds and the session is over. Yeah. It is hysteria. It is crying. I'm talking 100% of the time. As soon as somebody said, "Oh, we're not going to McDonald's anymore," I'm like, "I'm out. I'm gonna go get lunch now."
It was fun trying to take your picture.
Right. Congratulations!
We got what you got.
You just got the best photo you're gonna get all day. I'm sorry. So, and also sad story. The last time we were down in Thanksgiving, we just happened to drive by McDonald's, and the line was around the corner. So, you know, we have a bit of a fast food nation still going on.
We do. Yeah. Wow. I kind of want you to run the photo op at Dreamforce now.
Yeah, careful what you share. You can do, Josh. We're always looking for
how
people.
How great wouldn't that be?
I mean, I need some sock puppets.
I want all of admin relations to come in its best mid 1990s photo picture. At like, I'm talking Eddie Bauer flannels, poofy hair, tight rolled jeans.
We need at least one person in corduroy.
Yeah, because it was the 90s and grunge.
As long as you do like those cool treatments to it afterwards, where there's like some like feathering and like pasteling or something, mm-hmm. you know, like the big picture of the face in the background versus
just one person that showed up late gets its own picture, and then they're kind of ghosted in looking at the rest of the
right.
Talk about things AI could actually help with. There you go.
I just would like to see the face on Creative's face when if we set up a photo op next to, like, I mean, you've seen how high resolution our Creative is, right? Like that, like they want that to look as real as a nature scene as possible. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I never used a background that you would have mistaken for real.
You didn't just have like random oil painting. Yeah, blotches. I mean,
it's like, it was like park, and it's just like, but this, you know, this, there's this glare from the light on it. It's like, yeah, no, that's not really a park. It's just
pixels the size of dice.
Well, guys, I'm about to turn into dust, but this was very fun.
It was. So thanks for hanging out and joining us on this opinionated. If anybody has an AI generated picture of us in mid-90s photographic style, please share it on Twitter. Also, do us a favor and share the episode with just one person. So if you're listening on iTunes, all you got to do is tap the dots, click share episode, and then you can post it to social. You can text it to a friend. You can talk about McRibs that way. If you're looking for great resources, not about McRibs or Crystal Pepsi, your one stop for everything admin is admin.salesforce.com, including what ought to be an interesting read, a transcript of this show. So be sure to join us for the conversation, Admin Trailblazer Group in the Trailblazer community. Of course, the links for all of that is below in the show notes. We'll resume our regularly programming next week. And so until then, we'll see you in the cloud.
Cheers, y'all. And that's our show. Now, if you want to learn more about this podcast, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear old episodes, see the show notes, and have links to your favorite podcast service. Thanks again, everybody. I'll talk to you next week.